As we begin our watch night service, we light the Advent candles.
The first candle, the hope candle, reminds us to think of the prophets as they ask people to prepare for the coming of Jesus, the King.
The second candle is often called the Bethlehem candle, and it reminds us of the journey that Mary and Joseph made in faith.
And the third candle, the joy candle, lighter and brighter than the others, and reminds us of the joy that Mary felt at the news she was to be the mother of Jesus.
And the last Advent candle reminds us of the love that the Holy Family shared and the love that motivated God in giving his Son to be our Savior. We sing to God's glory and praise our first carol, On Christmas Night, All Christians Sing. Christmas night, on Christmas. Is to see a messenger coming across the mountains bringing good news, the news of peace. Let us pray. Gracious God, whose tender mercy brings into being a new dawn for all creation, we would come before you this night as people who are watching, eagerly awaiting, longing with wonder for the one who comes bringing good news, the news of peace. Come, peace of Christ, into a world of fake news and turmoil. Come, peace of Christ into communities divided. Come, peace of Christ, into our hearts where we need you most. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace, goodwill among people. Thank you, Lord, for the angel's song that tells us of your intentions. Grant that we, like the shepherds, would journey this night with joyful anticipation of meeting Jesus and in his presence find life and God's purposes of love for us and all creation. Help us, Holy Spirit. Receive our worship, Lord Jesus, we humbly pray, as you received the worship of your mother Mary and Joseph, shepherds and wise men, when first you came among us and were laid upon a manger. For your glory, we ask these things. Amen.
He's coming.
Who?
The light of the world.
When?
Now.
Has he been here before?
Oh, so many times.
Like when?
He's always been here.
How can that be?
He was here at the very beginning.
Where?
With God.
What was he doing?
Shining.
Why?
To light up our lives.
What for?
To make us God's children.
How could he do that?
He became a child himself.
What was he like?
I don't know.
Why not?
I didn't recognize him.
So then what happened?
I looked again.
Had you looked before?
Oh, so many times.
What was different?
I saw his glory.
How?
It's hard to say. He grew to be a man of such grace, such truth. Suddenly, I see God in him, and it lights me up inside.
What does that do to you?
I can walk with a bit more trust and hope, a bit more courage and love.
What if you lose heart? What if the light stops shining?
Then it's time to begin again.
Have you ever had to begin again?
Oh, so many times.
Our reading this evening is taken from Matthew chapter 1, reading at verse 17. This can be found on page 965 in the Pew Bible or in the bold print version on page 1113. Thus there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David. 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Thanks be to God.
Hark, the herald angels sing. Let us pray. What was it like? Can we imagine? Holy Spirit, help us see. Awaken us to a new birth. As we look at how Jesus came into the world, help us see in every human face his sister and brother. Carry us to Bethlehem, that we may offer Jesus our love and devotion. For your glory we ask this. Amen. Awaken us to a new birth as we look at how Jesus came into the world.
But Bill, what has Christmas ever done for us?
Well, it's Christmas has given us a reason to be cheerful in the middle of the winter.
Yeah, but what has Christmas ever done for us?
Fraser, it's given us presents and parties and turkey and trimmings.
Yes, Bill, but what has Christmas ever done for us?
Bright lights and Christmas trees and colourful, sparkling decorations
shining in dark nights.
Yes, but what has Christmas ever done for us?
Well, there's good films and entertainment and programs. The telly gets better at Christmas.
Yes, but what has Christmas ever done for us?
It's given us a newborn baby laid in a manger, whose name is Jesus, whose name means Savior. Well, that could have gone on a bit, but the dialogue raises the question of what connection, if any, this birth in Bethlehem has with our lives approximately 2,020 years later. If there is a reason to celebrate this birth, it's because this Jesus can bring you and me to a new birth. That because of his new life, we can find renewal, healing, and wholeness. Awaken us to a new birth as we look at how Jesus came into the world. It is a most intimate scene, the warmth of a mother's love and Joseph's protection, caring for this tiny newborn life. The carol paints the scene. Still the night, holy the night, sleeps the world hid from sight. Mary and Joseph in stable bear, watch o'er the child, beloved and fair, sleeping in heavenly peace, sleeping in heavenly peace. Anyone who has been around a newborn knows that this baby commands care and attention and love and affection. Such vulnerability cannot be ignored. And as any new parent will tell you, their newborn grabs all the time they've got. I don't believe it was any different for Jesus. Even if the carol tells us the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Well, I don't believe it. For this new life, for Jesus to survive, he will need to claim the attention and all that Mary and Joseph have got to give. And in their giving to Jesus, Mary and Joseph will find their life's purpose. It's like that with new life and with the new birth or renewal Jesus brings to us as we place our trust in him. We must give Jesus our all for his life to grow and take root in us. New priorities will be needed. There will be things, stuff, distractions, regrets. There will be things we need to let go if the new life we are being given this Christmas is to blossom and bring us to the purpose of our life. There is another aspect to this vulnerability. It suggests that if God can become vulnerable, then maybe we can too. For it's when we are prepared to be vulnerable that we come to know God. When we have plenty, when everything is going our way, when we're on top of things, when our hands are full, it's easy to forget God. But by being aware of our need, when we have given up on our pride, when we are ready to receive with open and empty hands, it is then that we meet God, who is present among us as one who was himself vulnerable. Are you familiar with the game of Cluedo? There are a number of variations. The ones I have seen in the shops this Christmas involve Harry Potter and a disappearing friend at Hogwarts. And then there's the version about a theft at Downton Abbey, when Mr. Carson has to ask help to solve the mystery. Me, I prefer the original. Yes, there was a murder, but was it Colonel Mustard or Mrs. Peacock or the Reverend Green, perhaps, or Professor Plum who did it? With the candlestick or the lead piping or the dagger or the rope in the dining room or in the conservatory or in the library. It could be said that the Christmas story is a bit like Cluedo. We are offered clues or signs which point us in the direction of what really happened at Christmas. So the angels are clues, the wise men following a star, more clues. The virgin birth is a clue, the shepherds coming from the fields, all are clues to what Christmas can mean for us tonight. Some people find the clues helpful and rich in meaning. Others find they are for them like a stumbling block, making it almost impossible to believe. If it helps, hold on to the angels and the virgin birth and the wise men following a star. They are there to guide us, but they would be the first to testify that they are not the main action. Their only purpose is to lead us there. So don't let the presence of angels and a star and even a virgin birth let you get stuck. Keep heading on to the beating heart of Christmas, for that's too important to allow yourself to be deflected. And maybe later, when you find yourself caught up in this new life that invites your whole attention, the clues and the guides, the shepherds and the angels, and even a virgin birth will fall into place. To this new life lying in the manger, they gave the title Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. In the life of this vulnerable human being, God came among us. God in all his majesty and wonder and grace lived among us. Here lies the beating heart of Christmas. God with us, sharing in our human life with all its vulnerability. Jesus is God's yes to humanity, God's expression of solidarity with his children. Jesus is our brother, and we are his sisters and brothers. Whatever you may live with, however you may feel, whatever you may worry about or regret, know how precious you are, and know that God says yes to you. To know this is to find our hearts warm to hope. It is to find faith kindled anew. It is to see our horizons expand afresh. Not only for ourselves, but for the world in which we live. St. Paul put it this way: God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer holding people's misdeeds against them, and entrusting us with the message of reconciliation. More than ever, our world needs to hear the message of Christmas. We can begin again. Bridges can be built. Forgiveness can be offered and received. And so, As Christmas is about to dawn, God entrusts you with the good news of reconciliation for our world. Go and tell the good news that there is a new world beginning from tonight. Shepherds first saw the light, heard resounding clear and long, far and near the angel's song. Christ the Redeemer is here. Christ the Redeemer is here. One last thought. We're invited to go deep with Christmas. Take down your defenses. Let the Christ child touch you close and find the joy of the Lord. Are you tired, worn out, burned out? Jesus said, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. New life, the gift of Christmas. We sang those wonderful words of Charles Wesley. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the new-born King. Let us sing together the carol, Still the Night.
seated. In these first moments of Christmas Day, we light the central candle, the Jesus candle. It's lit to celebrate Jesus' birth and to welcome Jesus here. May Jesus be at the center of our lives. May the light of Christ shine among us and in the world. Gladly,
we wish you a blessed and happy Christmas. May the new life of Jesus be yours today, tomorrow, and forever.
Let's take a few moments to share Christmas greetings with those around us.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas, Ian. David, to you and Ian. Yes, please. No, I think, yeah, thank you.
Happy Christmas, Ian. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas,
Happy Christmas,
Mary.
Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas, John. Merry Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas.
Lovely to see you as always.
You too. Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas to you. Ian, who was going to play for us tonight, has unfortunately been indisposed and is unable to be with us this evening. But his dad has offered to play for us as we bring forward our offering, and then we share a prayer together. Let us pray. The kindness and generosity of God, our Saviour, has dawned upon the world. God, who is love, in the first of Christmas, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, your Son, to be our Saviour. Thank you, God, for coming among us in ways we can recognize, speaking our words and living our life. As we welcome Jesus, help us to embrace the new life Jesus brings, that with hope we may live and pray. Here tonight, we give you thanks for Christmas joys, for the love of family and friends, for opportunities to meet and to celebrate. Here, too, we remember how hard the first Christmas was, thankful that you, Lord Jesus, have walked this way and felt the steepness of the brae. So we pray for people who are vulnerable and fragile, for those who are homeless in our city, and for all who have suffered loss. Lord Jesus, by the side of your manger, we would take some moments now in quiet, offering our gifts to you in worship, our prayers for others, and for your renewal in our lives. And may the blessings of the Christ who was born at Bethlehem, who was crucified at Calvary, and who rose again to life everlasting, fill our lives with love, peace, and joy. To him be all glory and praise. Amen. We sing together our final carol, O Come, All Ye Faithful. in the highest heaven, and on earth peace, goodwill amongst people. May grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this Christmas morning and evermore.